لذت ذکر نام خدا ہے چمن، لذت ذکر نام خدا ہے چمن، اور غفلت کی دنیا ہے دشت و دمن۔ لذت ذکر نام خدا ہے چمن، لذت ذکر نام خدا ہے چمن، اور غفلت کی دنیا ہے دشت و دمن۔ کی ہے جس نے بھی ہجرت تیرے نام پر، کی ہے جس نے بھی ہجرت تیرے نام پر، پا گیا پا گیا وہ بہار وطن۔ ہے ضروری گناہوں کو بھی چھوڑ دیں، ہے ضروری گناہوں کو بھی چھوڑ دیں، اصل ہجرت نہیں صرف ترک وطن۔ لذت ذکر نام خدا ہے چمن، لذت ذکر نام خدا ہے چمن، اور غفلت کی دنیا ہے دشت و دمن۔ یہ ہے فیضان آہ و فغاں دیکھ لو، یہ ہے فیضان آہ و فغاں دیکھ لو، دامن کوہ میں دل ہے کیسا مگن۔ بالیقین پائے گا نسبت اولیاء، بالیقین پائے گا نسبت اولیاء، جس کے دل کو لگی ہے خدا سے لگن۔ لذت ذکر نام خدا ہے چمن، لذت ذکر نام خدا ہے چمن، اور غفلت کی دنیا ہے دشت و دمن۔ شہر محبوب ہوگا جہاں بھی کہیں، شہر محبوب ہوگا جہاں بھی کہیں، عاشقوں کا سنا ہے وہی ہے وطن۔ پھر مدینے کی لذت کو میں کیا کہوں، پھر مدینے کی لذت کو میں کیا کہوں، کاش ہوتا مدینے میں میرا وطن۔ لذت ذکر نام خدا ہے چمن، لذت ذکر نام خدا ہے چمن، اور غفلت کی دنیا ہے دشت و دمن۔ کس طرح میں کہوں دل سے دوستوں، کس طرح میں کہوں دل سے دوستوں، زندہ باد وطن زندہ باد وطن۔ ہے وطن میں مگر دل مدینے میں ہے، ہے وطن میں مگر دل مدینے میں ہے، اے مدینہ فدا، اے مدینہ فدا تجھ پہ ہو صد وطن۔ نیک لوگوں میں ہو صاحب درد دل، نیک لوگوں میں ہو صاحب درد دل، ہے چمن میں کوئی جیسے رشک چمن۔ روز و شب ہے یہ اختر کی آہ و فغاں، روز و شب ہے یہ اختر کی آہ و فغاں، بخش دے روز محشر مجھے ظلمنن۔ لذت ذکر نام خدا ہے چمن، لذت ذکر نام خدا ہے چمن، اور غفلت کی دنیا ہے دشت و دمن۔
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ، الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاة والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ، ونشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ، ونشہد ان سیدنا ونبینا وشفیعنا ومولانا محمدا عبدہ ورسولہ۔ قال اللہ تبارک وتعالی، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، سابقوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها كعرض السماء والأرض، أعدت للذين آمنوا بالله ورسله، ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم، صدق الله العظيم۔ علماء کرام، most respected brothers, you just heard that beautiful نعت شریف of حضرت مولانا قیوم الاختر صاحب دامت برکاتہم recited beautifully by مولانا مصطفیٰ کامل صاحب. The beginning of that لذت ذکر نام خدا ہے چمن اور غفلت کی دنیا ہے دشت و دمن، and that's exactly what we are discussing in this آیات of the Quran Sharif over the past 2 or 3 weeks prior to my going to England. We are discussing these آیات and I said inshallah we will continue. So غفلت کی دنیا ہے دشت و دمن. When a person is negligent, indifferent, he does not have the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then that dunya of ghaflat, it is like that pile of rubbish, or that rubbish dump, or that heap of rubbish that piles up. That is what it is. We all know the stench of that rubbish dump. Nobody wants to live near a rubbish dump. تو غفلت کی دنیا ہے دشت و دمن، او اٹ از اے جنگل۔ یہ ضروری آپ کے نام پر جس نے ہجرت کیا، پا گیا وہ بہار وطن۔ یہ ضروری گناہوں کو بھی چھوڑ دے، اصل ہجرت نہیں صرف ترک وطن۔ If a person gives up his sins, he is obedient to Allah تبارک و تعالی, and then he makes use of the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then that person, for him those ni'mats will be wasila of akhirat. So this ghaflat, as we discussed even in the last session or last majlis, that this ghaflat is that hen which lays all the other eggs. All the sins that people commit, all the sins that we engage in and indulge in, the major cause of that is this ghaflat. That our attention is removed from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as being the one who is all-seeing, all-hearing, all-knowing. We take it for granted that this sin that we are engaging in, indulging in it, there's nobody that is watching us, nobody that knows it, nobody that is aware of it, and therefore we engage in that sin. Now that sin can be of different kinds. It could be with regards to our business matters, our buying and selling, that there the person is now concealing some defect that is in the article, or the person is transacting a business which is haram, he is selling those items which are haram, he is taking interest and giving interest. So whatever sins with regards to business matters, or whether it is the person is going to the casino, disco, rave clubs, theatres and cinemas, or whether the person is devouring somebody's property which was not due to him, now he is devouring it. properties of widows, orphans, destitutes, or the person is making injustice and zulm in any way, not fulfilling the rights of the family, of the people, of the society, any kind of sin, the major cause of that is ghaflat. When the person is in ghaflat, then the person engages in that sin. Otherwise, can a person engage in adultery or fornication if he has got conscious awareness that his Allah is powerful, almighty, he can shake the ground beneath his feet, beneath the feet of this person that is engaging in this sin. Allah Ta'ala's might and power, if a person is aware of what happened to the nations of the past when they indulged in disobedience, then that person is not going to commit sin. Yes, accidental sin the person can still commit, that the person is driving, is wide awake, alert, is looking carefully into the rear view mirror and on his side and in front, but then due to lack of sleep or some other reason the person just dozed off, or some other slip he made and he meets up with an accident. That can happen. But purposely the person will then not commit any kind of accident. So like that the sins also, when it is ghaflat, ghaflat ki dunya hai dasht adam. When the person makes hijrat in the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, for the sake of Allah ta'ala, the person is not able to practice on his deen, on sharia, Quran and sunnah, wherever he is living. And then he says that I want an environment in which it will be easy for me to practice. Of course, it's not impossible wherever he is. Allah Ta'ala is the Khaliq and Allah Ta'ala is the Rabb. And Allah Ta'ala has created this universe and Allah Ta'ala has created man. So therefore, until the day of Qiyamah, wherever a person is, it will be possible for him to make amal on the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah. The only difficulty is, or he may experience, is because of the environment. So we will say that it becomes sometimes a little difficult to practice, but we won't say impossible. But nevertheless, now this person is making hijrat because he finds it difficult. So if it is for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, that he is making that hijrat. آپ کے نام پر جس نے ہجرت کیا پا گیا وہ بہار وطن. But then یہ ضروری گناہوں کو بھی چھوڑ دے, اصل ہجرت نہیں صرف ترک وطن. Wherever the person goes, whether it is China, Japan, or whether he is going to America or England or any part of the world, یہ ضروری گناہوں کو بھی چھوڑ دے, that is ہجرت. المہاجر من ہجر ما نہ اللہ عنہ. If the person does not give up his sins, then wherever he has gone, Allah Ta'ala's azab will follow him. It's not necessary the same kind of azab that he was facing or the same kind of problems that he was facing in his country. It could be new problems for him in the other country. In one's country, like our country, we'll say it was crime. And because of that, the person left this country. Now he goes to another country, but there's no namaz, roza, zakat, hajj in his life, and he's engaging, indulging in all those same sins and vices. So then he may not experience that level of crime in that country that he is going to. Could be relatively safe. It could be relatively safer. But other kinds of azab comes onto the heart of that person. How many people we meet in our safar? If you look at their homes, if you look at their businesses, if you look at their own selves, their dressing and their cars, everything, you will think that this person must be the happiest person now after making hijrat from his country. But then when they tell you about the family life or some other problems that they are experiencing and the restlessness and they would rather commit suicide, then we understand this. A zaruri gunaho kubi chodo de asle hijrat nahi sirf tarke watan. So in these ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was discussing the life of this world, Hayatul Dunya. Just to give recap or just the gist of it, Allah Ta'ala said, اِعْلَمُ أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاتُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُبٌ وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاسُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. What is the life of this world? It is play and amusement. form mutual boasting and rivalry with regards to wealth and children. We discussed this at length in two or three majalis. And then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives the example, كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ. It is like when the rain comes down and mixes with the vegetation. And when the crops grow, there's abundance of crop. Everything is looking very, very beautiful. There's so much of growth, so much of vegetation, fruits, and everything now appearing. Different kinds of products from that which was planted and which was harvested, which is now being harvested. So all this gives the farmer a great amount of enjoyment and happiness. I'm not giving you a translation, just giving you a meaning. That now when the farmer sees the whole land which he had plowed and then planted the seeds and now so much of crops, so then it gives him great amount of enjoyment. After the rain has come down, now he's seeing all the greenery. But then what happens is after that it, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا. Then it withers. And then it turns yellow. Then you will see it turn into straw. You will see it turn yellow and then it turns into straw. That is what happens. That is the life, example of the life of this world. And then Allah Ta'ala gives the two conditions. One is the condition for the kuffar, for the disbelievers, for the sinful ones, for the transgressors, that for them in the hereafter will be adhabun shadeed. And for those who believed, and for those who obeyed, and for those who worshipped Allah Ta'ala, and those who made sacrifices, they sacrificed the evil desires of their nafs, irrespective of how difficult they found it on their hearts. But they made, as my Shaykh says, khun-e arzu. So then those people, for them, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give them maghfirat. Maghfirat from Allah Ta'ala's side and Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. If the person got maghfirat, then what was the need to bring the word waridwan? Maghfirat the person got, Allah Ta'ala said, right, okay. All the sins that you committed, I make you maaf. And I have accepted all your ibadat and tilawat and zikr. For those who were righteous and pious, if Allah Ta'ala said that they've got maghfirat, that was sufficient. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is giving them ridwan, his happiness. Now when Allah Ta'ala becomes happy, then what it means is that everything that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has prepared for this banda, now he will give it to him in Jannat. In Jannat now he will have ma la aynun ra'at wa la uzunun sami'at wa la khatara ala qalbi bashar. Now the person will get everything in Jannat because Allah Ta'ala is pleased with him. When Malikul Mulk, he becomes pleased, then he, what kingdoms he has got, it is for his servants. He is going to give them everything in Jannat, all the ni'mats in Jannat. So with his maghfirat, Allah Ta'ala is giving him this bonus. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. And also we have to understand that this is the Jannat that the person will get also, and everything else that he will get there, it is only with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's pleasure. If Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not pleased, then it will be what he has mentioned earlier on, Azabun Shadeed. We have discussed all this in some detail, and now we go forward, where Allah Ta'ala says, Sabiqu ila maghfiratim min rabbikum. And race towards maghfirat from your Rabb. وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And the width of, Allah Ta'ala says, in race, if you want to race, if you want to compete, then in what must we compete? In what must we race? Must we also race in worldly wealth and worldly properties and material things, just as the kuffar, the mushrikeen, and the yahood and the nasara are racing and chasing after each other, billions and billions and billions, and it just goes on and on. There is no end to it. There is no qanaat. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that we must chase, we must race, we must try to overtake in what? إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. مَغْفِرَةٍ from your Rabb. That is something in which we must try to excel, in which we must try to overtake others. That means in good deeds, good actions, that is where we should be competing. And it has also been explained that it means that you must do good deeds and overtake sickness before it comes, or old age before it comes, or death before it comes. So you must overtake it. That means our good deeds and good actions must be done quickly. It must not be delayed, because sickness can come, old age will come, death will come. Now all these things will take away that opportunities that we have to do some good deeds and good actions and please Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. If you are not going to do it, it is going to come. Nobody can hold time back. Time is going to move on. And just as those people, when the person becomes youth, when he gets youth, then at that time he considers all what he did whilst he was a toddler and a child as having been futile and useless. If you tell the person who is now in his youth that take those little toy cars and run around, the person will consider it as stupid. So just as when the youth think of that age that went by, when they were infants and toddlers, as being futile and useless and they had wasted their time, in the same way when old age comes, then they think they wasted their time when they were young. And the right thing to have done was to gather and accumulate plenty of wealth and plenty of assets. But then even that old age will come to an end. That is, if the person sees old age. And then the person will go to the akhirat. When he's going to go to the akhirat, then he will think that I wasted my youth, I wasted my childhood, I wasted my old age, I wasted my middle age. Everything was wasted. I didn't bring across the other side, any capital. When a person goes to settle in some other country, then first thing he tries to make sure of is that he's got sufficient capital on the other side. He's got a home, he's got some job, he's got some profession. He doesn't just go like that and then go and walk the streets. So like that, when we are going to the akhirat, a long journey, so where are we going to bring that capital from? It's going to be from this world. So therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, سَابِقُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. What is the width of that jannat? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, the width of that jannat. So you must go towards maghfirat from your Rabb and jannat. Allah Ta'ala himself is saying, seek that jannat. And the width of which alone, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, is like the heavens and the earth, the seven earth and the seven heavens put together, that is the width, that means the minimum of jannat that an ummati will get, then what will be the maximum? So that is what Allah Ta'ala is encouraging. He said that is what we should be really seeking. And many, many times now I have explained that whenever we hear of this preparation for the akhirat, straight away shaitan starts whispering in our hearts that it's impossible, because you'll have to go out of this world to make preparation for that akhirah. You'll have to go away to the jungles, you'll have to go away to the mountain tops, or you will have to go and dig up one grave and sleep in there for a couple of nights and days and make ibadat. Whereas it is the same body, the same wealth, the same children, the same homes, the same businesses, the same eyes, the same ears, the same tongues, the same hands and feet and the same heart and mind that we will be using to make preparation for the akhirah. It's not somewhere else that we will have to go. It's the same thing. All we will have to do is discipline these parts of the bodies. There is no way that we can get to Jannat without disciplining our eyes, our gazes, our hearing, our speech, our heart. We just have to discipline it. It's the same home that we will live in, but our homes will be free from those things which cause corruption in our lives. The home of a Muslim will not have those filthy magazines and porn videos and movies and Hollywood and Bollywood and television where the person is watching all kind of haram. So this person, his home will be like any ordinary home, but just that it will be free from all those things that bring the anger and displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. The person's business will be like any other business. He will stock groceries, clothing and other things. But that business will now be conducted according to the laws of Islam. So it will be the same. All we have to do is apply the laws of Islam, the teachings of the Quran, teachings of the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and that person is making preparation for the Akhirat. And that will take him to Jannah. Not that the person has to go somewhere else. Allah Ta'ala says, for whom is the Jannah prepared? Why did Allah Ta'ala prepare this Jannah? Was it just for show? Or Allah Ta'ala wanted to put everybody into Jahannam and just give us some kind of enjoyment when we listen to the ayat of Jannah? It is for the believers. Who else it is for? وَعِدَّتْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ. For whom has Allah Ta'ala prepared the Jannah? It has been prepared for those who believe in Allah Ta'ala and His messengers. That is the person Allah Ta'ala has prepared it for. Which clearly again indicates that Allah Ta'ala wants us to believe in Him, believe in His messengers, be obedient for a little while in this world. And in different ways Allah Ta'ala tries to explain to us, nobody could be more merciful than Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Even parents cannot show that kind of mercy as Allah Ta'ala shows to His creation. Look at Allah Ta'ala's intizam and arrangement. He sends the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. He sends Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reveals the Quran Sharif upon him. And then look at all the muhaddithin, mufassirin, mashayikh. That whole chain of people, for what has Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sent them? So that we may be guided towards Jannah. Allah Ta'ala does not want man to go into the fire of Jahannam. It's a misunderstanding that Allah Ta'ala just wants to put everybody into Jahannam. Yes, there will be warnings. There will be warnings and there is Jahannam. If there had been no Jahannam, we would have said Allah Ta'ala's creation is incomplete. If there is a country, we say they've got everything, but they've got no prison. In our country, or our city, we say they've got everything. Beautiful parks and beautiful buildings and shopping malls and everything else they've got, but they've got no prison. So will we call that a complete city? We will say there's something missing. There's a deficiency. There has to be a prison also for those people who are disobeying. Otherwise it's incomplete. So like that, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has got Jannah. But if there had been no Jahannam, then it would have been incomplete. Because there are so many people who, in spite of all the warnings, and in spite of all the glad tidings that are given for those who obey, in spite of all those ayat of Jannah, and all those ayat of Jahannam, they will still disobey and they will still rebel against Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So now for them there has to be some Jahannam. But that is not Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's desire that everybody must just go into Jahannam. So Allah Ta'ala says He's prepared that for those people who believe in Him and His messengers. That is whom He has prepared it for. But then immediately after that we are told, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. That after doing the ibadah, zikr, tilawat, after being obedient to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then we must not think that the Jannat that we got is because of our good deeds and actions. The person must not think that now this Jannat that I got is because of my good deeds and actions. After doing everything that is good, after obeying Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then the person must still remember that Jannat will be the fazl of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That is the fazl, that's the grace of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He gives to whomsoever He pleases. And Allah Ta'ala is of abundant grace. Even Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he mentioned this about entry into Jannat being based on grace and fazl of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and the Sahaba questioned him, Ya Rasulullah, even you are not going to enter because of amal, but because of the grace and fazl of Allah Ta'ala. So he responded that, yes, even myself, I will be entered into Jannat because of the fazl of Allah Ta'ala. It is only Allah Ta'ala's fazl. It is only His kindness, it is His grace. Like Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that he will enter Jannat because of Allah Ta'ala's fazl. And yet we know that whether it's Jannat or this universe that was created because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was going to be sent to this world. And who is going to enter Jannat without the shafa'at and without the intercession of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? The shafa'at al-kubra. But yet Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if he is going to enter with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, then who are we to brag about our little ibadat and zikr and tilawat? Some amal that we do and we truly believe that now because of this amal we have purchased Jannat. So we have to do that which is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala, but at the same time believe that the entry into Jannat is not going to be because of that amal and that action alone. That action will become a means, but it is the fazl of Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala accepts that amal, and with his fazl he enters into Jannat, then the person will be able to enter. That example again comes to mind of that person. It's an example that has been given of a person who set out from a village. He had heard that in Baghdad there was a shortage of water. There was drought, there was famine, and there was no water for in Iraq. So another person, he set out from his village. He said the king and all others there must be very thirsty and they must have got no water, so they must be just about to die. So therefore in one pot he carried some water from a distant village. He walked and he walked. And due to the heat and the distance, that water that was in the pot, it began to stink. Now he brought it, he didn't know how bad the stink and the stench was in that water. But when he arrived here, so the king having ordered the guards to allow him in, so he presented that water. It's an example. Now when he presented that water to the king, so the king told his courtiers, he said that take this person, take him to the shower, let him have a nice bath, give him new clothes, give him some perfume, and then this pot that he brought, give him a bigger pot, fill it with gold coins and give it to him. And tell him thank you very much for bringing this water for us from such a distant land. And then when he is going back, then take him through the riverside where the water is flowing in full force. So this person was given new clothes, his pot was filled with gold coins. And then when he was taken on another route, then when he passed by the river Tigris with the water flowing full force, so at that time he felt ashamed. He said, where did I bring this one pot of water for the king? He has got a whole river full of water here. With that example, he gives us what a lesson. That when we are making our ibadat, our zikr, our tilawat, our charities, our generosity and our kindness that we show, and the raham and the karam that we show, and suddenly we start bragging about it, that this is what I have done, so much charities I have given, so much namaz I made, so much tahajjud and ishraq I made, and so much of ibadat I made, it is just like that water which we are presenting to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We believe that Allah was really in need of this ibadat of ours and zikr of ours and tilawat of ours. And what was the quality of our ibadat, our zikr, our tilawat? Was it really worthy of presentation before that Allah? But look at that Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Where can that king even show that kind of mercy? Just as that king filled up that pot with gold coins and gave it back to that person. Just as that king, he ordered that this person will be given a new set of clothes. In the same way, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When we send up our ibadat, our zikr, our tilawat, it is extremely weak. Very much deficiency in it. There is no question of having done justice to that ibadat and zikr and tilawat. Or any kind of worship that we have made. But when we are presenting to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, out of His ihsan and fazl and kindness, He rewards us abundantly. On this action you will get this palace in Jannat. On this action you will get this palace in Jannat. On this action you will get the hoors of Jannat. On this action you will get the rivers of Jannat. On this action you will get the gardens of Jannat. Now is it really because of that amal that we have made? Or is it the fazal of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? So therefore we should not brag about our amal and our actions. We must humble ourselves. The more the amal we make, the more humility must come in our hearts. The more shukr must come. There must be no question of any kind of pride and arrogance. This is our major weakness and weakness of the ummah around the globe. That either we will do nothing, or we will engage in evil, in sins, in bad actions. Or if we are engaging in good deeds and good actions, then we will do minimal, but we will expect maximum. And we'll brag about it as if we have done the whole world. So therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ Every word that Allah ta'ala uses, there is great meaning in it. But we are not going into any tafsir. But just to conclude for tonight, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives us a beautiful lesson. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, no calamity, no disaster, no difficulty, no hardship. Reaches the earth. No hardship comes down on the earth and neither in yourselves. Whatever kind of disaster, hardship, difficulty, pain, problem, suffering, whether on the earth or in ourselves, Allah Ta'ala says, neither on the earth nor in yourselves. Illa fi kitabim min qabli an nabra'aha. Which means that before we bring it into existence, we have already written it in that book, the Lawh-e Mahfuz. Allah Ta'ala has already recorded it in that book, the Lawh-e Mahfuz, that this person on certain day, certain time, certain place, he will suffer this calamity. Or certain time, certain date, in this country, that country, on this piece of ground, that piece of land, on the oceans or on the earth, wherever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has destined, this calamity or that disaster will strike. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, why did he record it and why is he informing us about that recording? So that inna zalika ala Allah yaseer, but before that Allah ta'ala says, and that is easy for Allah ta'ala. This recording is easy for Allah ta'ala. I mean, for us it is difficult to understand, but for Allah ta'ala it is easy. And then again we must not think, as many people nowadays have this kind of a doubt, that if Allah Ta'ala has recorded it, so then we are forced to do whatever we are doing. And so if we are engaging in any kind of haram, or we're missing our salat, or we're engaging in other kind of vices, so Allah Ta'ala recorded it that so and so, certain day, certain time, certain place, you will watch TV, you will watch movie, you will go to disco, cinema, theater, so why must we blame that person? Must blame na'uzu billah Allah Ta'ala. So it doesn't mean that. And I gave that example, once that if a person, for example, is recording that the train, he knows, he has the whole timetable knowledge that the train stops after leaving Johannesburg, it stops at Harrismith certain time, Ladysmith certain time, Pietermaritzburg certain time, arrives at Durban certain time. Now when the train has left from there, he's saying now the train is in Harrismith, now the train is in Pietermaritzburg, now the train is here. Now his knowledge of the movement of the train according to the schedule does not mean that that knowledge is now moving the train. That knowledge of his which is recorded is not what is moving the train. The person has got the knowledge, but that is not moving the train. That knowledge is not moving the train. The train is being moved by the driver of the train. There has to be an engine, there has to be a train, and it is being moved by the driver. He is pressing the button or he is doing whatever has to be done to move it. But we can go on recording. Like that, many, many things we can record, but it doesn't mean that because of our knowledge, that is why everything is happening and moving. The person has to do some action. So Allah Ta'ala has recorded it and then He gave us a willpower. And now this willpower which we use, we are going to be questioned with regards to the usage of this willpower. That Allah Ta'ala recorded it, that this person, certain time, certain place, certain date, he will use his willpower and commit adultery. He will use that same willpower and strength in his body and go to the cinema and disco. He will use that willpower and go to the casino. He will use that willpower and do this and do that. So whatever he is going to do, but Allah Ta'ala is Allah Ta'ala, He is Alim. So He has recorded it beforehand in that book, Lawh-e Mahfuz, in that tablet. Because if we are going to say that only for evil actions and deeds, it's only when it's evil actions and deeds, we say Allah Ta'ala recorded it, so why must we blame? Why should we be blamed? So then Allah Ta'ala has also recorded our risk and sustenance. So every person must now relax at his home and say, well, what's the need now to go to the business, because Allah Ta'ala has recorded. Whatever I'm going to get, Allah Ta'ala has recorded, so therefore it will come. Say one person said, but Allah Ta'ala is going to give the risk, so why should I worry about making any kind of effort? So he went and sat down where the travelers used to pass by. Like how we have our garages and filling stations and people get off there and they have the picnic. So he also went and sat down there. He went and sat down there and he waited and he waited, nobody offering him anything. People come, they open up the picnic basket, take out the chicken and burgers and steaks and everything else, and they eat, and they go away. And he had made up his mind, he's not going to ask anybody anything. Because he heard the Maulana Sahib say, your risk is muqaddar. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has destined, you'll get your risk. So one person went, second person went, everybody eating and going, and now his hunger is increasing. So after some time, another person came, opened up his basket. So this person started coughing, inviting his attention. So when that person's attention was invited, he said, come join us, participate. So he quickly joined and he ate. Then when he met this Maulana again, he says, aapka bayan bahut accha tha. Lekin ek kami usme reh gayi thi. Wo ye ki kuch khankarna padta hai. He said, only one thing you forgot to say, that your risk comes, but you have to cough a little. Without coughing, it doesn't come. So when it comes to our risk and sustenance, at that time we all believe that we have to make some effort. So why only in wrong deeds and actions that time, whatever is muqaddar? In everything, Allah Ta'ala has destined whether this person will have children or not. So why must he get married? Children will fall from the skies. So Allah Ta'ala has recorded it, but doesn't mean that He has forced the person now to do it. لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. That inshallah we will do next week if Allah Ta'ala gives us life and the opportunity. But again, the gist of which is that so if we have this yaqeen that Allah Ta'ala has recorded everything, whatever has to happen is going to happen. What is within our power we must do, and whatever is beyond our power, then we must not cry over it. Whatever is within our power we must do. We must make use of the means. But if after making use of the means, if a person has to lose out on health or wealth or children, the person's child died in infancy, or the person's wealth which was accumulated suddenly got fire caught on and everything burned down, or the person was in good health but suddenly an accident and the person's health was all ruined. So now the person will not cry over it too much. Natural grief will come into the person's heart. Natural grief. That even Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam teared upon the loss of his son Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. But the person will not become restless, impatient. The person will not make statements of kufr. The person will not make, blurt out statements that Allah Ta'ala couldn't find anybody else, na'uzu billah, besides me for all these type of problems. And when Allah Ta'ala gives him plentiful, I'm just giving an explanation. And when Allah Ta'ala gives the person plentiful, then he does not overreact in his enjoyment. The person does not go overboard. When difficulties come, at that time also is balanced. And when he gets ni'mats, bounties, then at that time he makes a lot of shukr. But in that enjoyment and in that excitement, he does not go overboard, disobeying Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That part of it, inshallah, we'll discuss. So, Maulana's recitation of the poetry, it was the same thing. Ghaflat ki dunya hai dasht o daman. Allah ta'ala is not stopping us from making use of the ni'mats and the bounties. But what he is stopping us from is rebellion. Remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala under all conditions. That is what we ask. And that is the purpose of these majalis. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the ummah the tawfiq of amal. And give us that realization that we are here for a temporary period of time. Look at the janazas every day. We hear of different people passing away in different areas, different countries. Sometimes individuals, sometimes 4, 5, 10, 20, and sometimes thousands disappearing from the surface of the earth. They will return no more. No matter what kind of technology and what kind of scientific progress is made, but they are not going to be able to bring them back to life. They can go to the Qabristan and try. It is only when Allah Ta'ala will, everybody will come back to life. So we must take lessons from this, to make use of the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, but at present where this ghaflat has overtaken us, it is dangerous. It is a very dangerous sign. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. يا رحيم يا كريم يا ستار الوجوه وقال الزنوب الله يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, My most forgiving Allah, my most compassionate loving Allah, my most tolerant Allah. We are extremely weak servants of yours. Day and night we use your bounties for your disobedience. Hum ghaflat ki dunya mein pade hain. My beloved Allah, we are drowning in the ocean of negligence. Who is there to throw a lifeline to us besides you, my beloved Allah? Who is there to take us out of the ocean of ignorance and ocean of indifference and ocean of negligence besides you, my Allah? We are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. From the time we became of age up till now, my beloved Allah, how much we have disobeyed you. But we are not bragging about our sins. We are not justifying our sins. My beloved Allah, we are ashamed of our sins. But who is there for us besides you, my Allah? Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi, tere siwa koi hamara nahi. If you have to turn away your glance of mercy and forgiveness from us, then we will face nothing but destruction in this world, in the qabr and in the akhirah. Ya Allah, forgive our major sins and minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of nights. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, family members and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hum gunegar hai, siyakar hai, badkar hai, mujrim aur khatakar hai. Hum sab kuch hai bande magar tere hai. Tujhe chhod ke hum gande jaye kahan. My beloved Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. We are spiritually sick, we are physically ill. Bless us with shifa from all our ailments, sicknesses and diseases. Whosoever is sick and ailing within hospitals, clinics, homes or amongst us, bless them with complete shifa. Clean and purify our hearts of malice, of greed, of pride, of arrogance, of envy and jealousy. My beloved Allah, those who have no children, bless them with pious, righteous children. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal risk and remove the difficulties. Those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who have passed away, make their maghfirat. Bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. My beloved Allah, the day is going to come when we too have to leave this world. No one will remain here forever and ever. Ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai. Don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, popping drugs in our mouths, adultery, fornication, or any kind of haram action. My beloved Allah, when the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyibah. Tamanna hai ke gulzare Madina ab watan ho. وہاں کے گلشنوں میں میرا بھی کوئی چمن ہوتا بسر اب زندگی اپنی دیار قدس میں ہوتی وہیں جیتا وہیں مرتا وہیں گھوڑو کفن ہوتا شہر محبوب ہوگا جہاں بھی کہیں عاشقوں کا سنا ہے وہی ہے وطن پھر مدینے کی لذت کو میں کیا کہوں کاش ہوتا مدینے میں میرا وطن. My beloved Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and akhirat. Bless us with the best of dunya and akhirat. Don't seize us on account of our sins and vices and evils. Bless us all with good health, with piety, with a life of taqwa, with a life of tawakkul and yaqeen. Bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Ya Allah, throughout the world, the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is suffering. Remove their difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, all his life he made duas for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Except all the works of deen that are taking place. Tabligh wa da'wat ki mehnat qubool farma, masajid, madaris, khanqah ki mehnat qubool. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the good wishes, the desires, the aspirations that are in the hearts of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you. Fulfill their good wishes, good desires and aspirations. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you. With your fazl, with your kindness, with your ihsan, remove their suffering, their pain, the difficulties, their hardships, the sicknesses, the problems. Unite the hearts of parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters and ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna. Innaka antas samiul alim. Watub alayna. Innaka antat tawwabur rahim. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.